The following is a message from the pulpit of the Fellowship Baptist Church of Wytheville, Virginia. It is our prayer that the Lord speaks to your heart as we gather together around His Word.
2 Corinthians chapter 5 tonight. I'm interested to see how this is going to turn out, because this was not the message I had intended on preaching tonight. God directed me elsewhere, and so I'm very interested to see what the Lord's going to do with it. It's exciting to me when God moves me sometimes, because it leads me to believe He's going to do something extra special, and I hope that's the case tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, I usually like to preach expositionally through an entire passage of Scripture, but God laid one verse, in fact, one clause within one verse on my heart tonight to focus on. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. And that's what I'd like to speak to you on tonight. Ambassadors for Christ. Father, would you help me tonight to preach this in just the right way? I don't do this because I think I deserve it. I don't do this because I've mastered these concepts. I do this because you've called me to do it. And Lord, you've promised your word won't come back void. Would you speak to our hearts? Would you take over this thing, Lord, and have your will and way? And may Christ be lifted up. If somebody needs to be saved tonight, I pray they would. I thank you for those that have gotten saved over the past week. Thank you, God, for that. Wow, that's awesome. And then, Lord, would you help Christians to get where they need to be tonight? And lift up your Son. For it's in His name we ask all these things. Amen. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. The Greek word there, ambassador, is presbyo, which simply means a representative. But the word ambassador, I think a great definition for it is found in Webster's 1828 dictionary. By the way, if you don't have a copy of Webster's 1828 dictionary, I wholeheartedly recommend that every Christian family have a copy of it. Daniel Webster was a senator. Noah Webster, I teach history, go figure. Noah Webster put together a dictionary, and he used a lot of scriptural references when he defined words. And just, it's a tremendous resource to have. And even if you can't afford the book, if you'll download eSword, if you Google eSword, it's a Bible program that's free. And one of the things that's on it, one of the add-on features that at last I knew was still free, is Webster's 1828 dictionary. You can download that for free. And I encourage you to do so, because everybody ought to have access to this. Here's what he said about ambassador. It is a minister of the highest rank employed by one prince or state at the court of another to manage the public concerns of his own prince or state and representing the power and dignity of his sovereign. By the way, that word sovereign I'm going to use a lot tonight. We represent a sovereign, okay? That's important to remember. Ambassadors are ordinary when they preside permanently at a foreign court, or extraordinary when they are sent out on a special occasion. They are also called, ministers. You know what a minister is, don't you? It's a servant. They're also called ministers. Envoys are ministers employed on special occasions and are of less dignity. That's from Webster's 1828 dictionary. There's three points I'd like for you to focus on before we get into the message in earnest. In the matter of an ambassador, first of all, number one, they represent a sovereign power. If that power is not sovereign, then they have no need of an ambassador. For instance, we don't send... Virginia doesn't send an ambassador to Washington, D.C. because Virginia isn't sovereign. Virginia is part of the United States. And so the United States ambassador to whatever handles all 50 states, not just a few. He represents or she represents a sovereign power. Now, what is sovereign? Sovereign is somebody who has authority and has the right to rule as they see fit. Okay? Full authority. For instance, America is a sovereign nation. We don't answer to anyone else. And by God's grace, it'll remain that way. We better be careful about the United Nations and these other places that would have us be subservient to a larger group. No, America needs to remain sovereign. I'm a big fan of nations, just individual nations being sovereign. I'm a big fan of that, okay? If Canada wants to do what Canada wants to do, then let them do what they want to do unless it affects the direct national security of the United States. So, you know, if they shoot a nuke at us, fine, let's deal with them. Until then, leave them alone and let them do what Canadians do up there. Mexico is a sovereign nation. All these other nations ought to be sovereign, but a lot of times they're not. A lot of times they battle the will of others. But we represent a sovereign power. Number two, an ambassador has no power, no authority, except what is conferred upon them by their sovereign. They don't have a right to go out and do things on their own. They have to do that which their sovereign has appointed them to do. Y'all with me? So number one, they represent a sovereign power. Number two, they have no power or authority except what is conferred upon them by their sovereign. And then number three, primarily, generally speaking, they reside in the land, a foreign land, to represent their sovereign. For instance, when we went to Cambodia, I took great comfort in knowing that our hotel was directly across the street from the United States Embassy. At the United States Embassy resided the United States Ambassador to the Kingdom of Cambodia. That's where he lived. He stayed there. You're already seeing some things coming into place, aren't you? So let's rehearse these and say, an ambassador represents a sovereign power. He has no power or authority except what's conferred upon him by the sovereign, and primarily resides in that foreign land in representation of the sovereign. In all of these senses, we as Christians truly are ambassadors for Christ. First of all, we represent Christ to this lost and dying world. We represent, we don't possess it, but we represent the sovereign power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are here in His place. Now, I understand that Jesus is here. His Holy Spirit indwells the believers, meets together with us at church and other places. I get that. But physically speaking, Jesus is not here. We are. And we represent Him, right? Okay. Number two, any authority that we have, any power that we have, is only what we have that is conferred by the Holy Spirit. I don't have it in me to change one life, to change one mind, to change one heart. But when the Holy Ghost of God gets a hold of somebody and starts working through them and uses them, we could change the world. Number three, we as ambassadors are not home. We live in a foreign land. And our goal is to one day get home. It's like the old song says, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And beloved, we need to be reminded of that because some of us are treating this old world as much more of a home than what it is. I know this isn't the proper term, but it seems to fit the bill. You can tell when somebody's a foreigner, can't you? Maybe there's a language barrier. Maybe they look different. So they talk different, they look different, they act different. Let me tell you something. When I went to Cambodia, y'all need to send me somewhere else. I don't have to just use Cambodia, you know, illustration. When I went to Cambodia, it's pretty obvious I didn't belong there. I looked different. In fact, I was called a giant. The first time I went, the little kids in the orphanage called me the giant. And then the next year when Brady went with me, I wasn't the giant anymore. They were pretty astounded by him. And I didn't talk like them. That's why I needed an interpreter. I didn't dress like they did. Didn't look like they did. Didn't act like they did. It's pretty obvious that I was foreign. Hey, Christian, it ought to be obvious to this world that we don't belong here. Now, I'm not saying that we need to you know, go as far as our Mennonite friends and people like that, although I respect the daylights out of them. But there are ways that we can live and conduct ourselves. If we live for Christ and we try to be like Christ, you'll be different enough. You sure will. And so Paul reminds us, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. You see, we so often forget this simple distinction. We fail to live in light of it. So I want to speak to you tonight on that subject. Ambassadors for Christ. First of all, what we are not. What is, you know, when we look at this phrase, we're ambassadors for Christ, what does it not mean? Well, first of all, we've got to look at this in light of our display. Our display. What are we displaying? What are we representing? Or more specifically, who? Let me tell you what we're not displaying, what we're not representing. Now stay with me. And think big picture tonight, okay? Think big picture. Don't get specific with me. Think big picture. Tonight, we're not meant to represent our family. You know, now I understand that there's a certain degree of that in our human interaction. For instance, we teach Claire lessons, and one of the lessons that we teach her is that Davises do not quit. She'll try something, she'll get frustrated with, I don't want to do this anymore. No, Claire. Davises don't quit. And so I understand to some degree she does represent our family name and will until she takes another that I don't want to think about. But it's bigger than that, y'all. We're not here to represent our family. We're not here to represent even our church. And I think sometimes when we go out into our community, we are representing Fellowship Baptist Church. Don't think of it like that. You're not meant to represent Fellowship Baptist Church, at least not in the way that I'm gearing towards in a second. Sometimes we limit ourselves to represent, and I use this word loosely, our denomination. Now, we consider ourselves non-denominational because we don't believe that independent Baptists are a denomination. It's a set of distinctives. It's a way of belief. But even so, I've got to represent my denomination well. I've got to represent my church well. I've got to represent my family well. I've got to represent our movement well. Can I just tell you, I hate using that term. I just don't know a better one to use. Our movement. I'm part of the independent fundamental Baptist movement. Well, there's a lot of aspects of that movement I really don't want to identify with. But we're not even trying to represent our movement. Well, I'm trying to represent a certain religious lifestyle. No, we're not trying to do that either. I want to make sure and represent the preachers I like well. Now, we may never say that, but be honest. There's some folks, and maybe you're one of them, there's certain preachers, and if you thought that preacher was disappointing you, it'd just tear you all to pieces. Because we have favorite preachers, favorite camps, favorite groups. How about this? I need to represent my alma mater well. Can I tell you all a secret? I don't think anybody at my alma mater knows who I am anymore. There arose new pharaohs that knew not Andy. You know? So I don't know that I even need to worry about that. Listen, I'm not saying that we should not be conscious to have a good name on our family and on our church and on our denomination and on our movements and on our religious lifestyles and our preferred preachers and our alma maters. But at its core, when we walk out into this world, we're not looking to represent our family or our name or our church or our denomination. We are interested in representing Jesus Christ and displaying Him well in this world. And I got news for you. If you do that right, you'll represent your family well. If you do that right, you'll represent your church well. If you do that right, you'll represent the movement or whatever you want to call it well. Paul touched on this. 1 Corinthians 1. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the following of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I have Apollos, and I have Cephas, that's Peter, and I have Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize. By the way, that's a great verse against baptismal regeneration. Paul makes a clear distinction here. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. There's a difference. Not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Friends, we need to stop going out and trying to represent our church or our family, our denomination, our movement well, and just go out and try to represent Christ well and tell people about Christ. Because if we'll do that, everything else will be taken care of. If my daughter will represent Christ well, the Davis name will be just fine. The Fellowship Baptist Church name will be just fine. But where we mess up is when we get more involved in these temporary things and forget to represent Christ. So we are not meant to display something other than our sovereign. What we are not. Secondly, what we are not in the matter of our display, and then in the matter of our directive. An ambassador has very specific orders regarding the directive. It is never to advance our own opinions or preferences or traditions or our own agenda. Our directive, like any ambassador, is to convey the message and agenda of our sovereign to his exact specifications. Let's say that the president were to make me an ambassador. Oh, let's pick a country. To Russia. Why he would choose me, I have no idea. But ambassadors with less qualifications have been sent out, so who knows? I actually saw a video one time where they were confirming an ambassador under Mr. Obama. And the senator asked a simple question, have you ever been to this country? He said, no. Seems to me if you're going to be an ambassador to a country, you ought to at least have been there at least once. It's a crazy thought. But let's say he sends me as an ambassador to Russia. Now, I'm not getting into whether or not Mr. Trump's policies regarding Russia are good or bad. That's not my point. My point is this. As an ambassador, it's not my job to go there and figure something out on my own. It's my job to represent the leader of this sovereign nation and the policies that this nation employs. If I go there and go all rogue and try something on my own, you know what happens? At best, I get fired. At worst, I start World War III. It's not an ambassador's job. It's not an ambassador's job to do things on his own. He doesn't have that authority. He represents the one with all the authority, right? That's the directive. That's the directive. Well, Christian, as an ambassador, what we are not is somebody who can just go out on our own and do things the way that we see fit. God doesn't give us that latitude. He gives us a very narrow book called the Bible. And we are to operate within its parameters. We are to convey its message. And we are to follow God's agenda. And though we would never say this, sometimes if we're not careful, we can try to deal with people in a way that suits our fancy instead of dealing with people in a way that suits God's directive. Right? Unlike human ambassadors. Now, sometimes human ambassadors are given authority to negotiate to a certain degree with foreign leaders. But we are never afforded the authority to negotiate. We must convey Christ's terms as spelled out in the Scripture in minute detail. We can't negotiate the gospel, nor should we. We can't negotiate the truths of God's Word, nor should we. Our job is to just get it straight. Now, have wisdom in how you do it, but give it straight.
2 Timothy 2:2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Revelation 22, verse 18, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." Does it sound like God wants you to not mess with his book? We don't have the authority to negotiate it. We don't have the authority to leave some out and put some in. We operate under the orders of our sovereign. And that's who we represent. So, what we are not at liberty to change the display. We are not at liberty to change the directive. But let me give you now what we are. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. So what does that mean? First of all, friend, it means you're enlisted. You're enlisted. I want you to think about this. Of all the ways that God has at his disposal to get his word out, he chose you. Now, let's pretend for a second that I wasn't a pastor. Let's say that I was, you know, in some secular job that candidly did not have eternal consequences, although every calling and every ministry has an eternal consequence. So let's just say, you know, I was in a job that it wouldn't really affect y'all if I was doing it or not, okay? Let's say that President Trump calls me up and says, "Hey, I hear you've," and no, I don't do a very good Trump, so I'm not going to do it. "I hear that you've been to Cambodia twice." "Yes, sir, I have." "Well, then that puts you twice as, you know, qualified as some guys to go to Cambodia as an ambassador." You know what? I'd take that as an honor. I'm not saying I'd do it. I take it as an honor. Wow. Me? Cool. Get to go to Cambodia as an ambassador. That's an honor. The sovereign king of all the universe has chosen you to be his representative in this earth. What an honor. And we should see it as nothing less than an honor. God chose you and me. God thinks that you're best equipped to do the job. Wow. Now, it's not easy. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." It's going to be tough. But I choose you. John 20, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." You've been enlisted. One thing I've learned about little kids, every once in a while you run into a little kid that's just flat lazy. But most kids, if you give them a job to do, man, they get excited about it. And I'm way too late to the party on this one. I've been doing a lot of work I didn't need to do. For the longest time, I didn't ask Claire to do a whole lot because I felt like that would get me into a state of laziness, and so I did. But now, you know, I figured out I can tell her to do just about anything. "Hey, Claire, go get me another one of these. Claire, go get me another Coke. Claire, go do this. Go do that. Claire, hand me the remote. Claire, bring me my Bible. Claire, do this. Claire," you know what I found out? Wow, that's helpful. And sometimes I'll say, "Claire, I got a special job for you." And she thinks that's the greatest thing in the world. "I've got a special job just for you." "Okay, Daddy, what is it?" "I need my shoes from upstairs." "Okay, Dad, I'll go get them." And sometimes in the school, now we don't have slave labor or anything, but sometimes in the school, "I got a special," you know, my wife is teaching right now in the first and second grade, and you know what, they have jobs. They have jobs that they do. And one of their jobs is the errand job. You know, they're the ones that run back and forth to the office and get copies made or get more chalk or whatever. And they think that's awesome. Probably to get out of class, but still, they think it's awesome that they're the messenger. We've lost that, haven't we? Because God's come to us and he said, "You know what, I got a special job for you." And we act like it's the most imposing thing ever. I'll tell you something, it's not. It's awesome that God wants us to to do that. He enlists us. But you know what, number two? Being an ambassador, first of all, you're enlisted. But then secondly, you know what else? You've been entrusted. You've been entrusted. The most valuable thing that I have is my family, humanly speaking. The most valuable thing that I have is my family. And when we go out of town, there's only been a couple of occasions that Claire didn't go with us. But when we do and we don't take Claire with us, like when we went to California for the leadership conference a couple years ago, we had to entrust her to somebody. Can I tell you something, friend? We're not going to entrust her to just anybody. I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings, and you know, if you weren't the one we asked, don't think it's because we hate you or don't think you're capable, but we got a pretty good idea of who we can trust the most, and that's Nana and Papa. You know why? Because we don't just leave her with people. I want to entrust her to somebody that I know is going to take care of her. We've already made out our will. We've already set up what happens to Claire, God forbid, if something happens to both me and my wife. Why'd we do that? Because if something happens to us, I don't want the state to decide who gets Claire. And we have all that figured out. Because it matters who we entrust her to. What's the most precious message out there? The gospel. And God has entrusted it to us. The most important words that can ever be spoken are the gospel of Christ, and God has entrusted that to us. 1 Timothy chapter 1, now we're entering to the middle of a thought that Paul's saying, but we pick up in verse 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which has committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. What a horrible thing for us to let ourselves think, oh, I wish I didn't have to do this. No, he has counted you faithful and put you into that ministry and entrusted you with the gospel. What greater honor could there be? As an ambassador, you're enlisted. Number two, you're entrusted. Number three, you are empowered. Remember in Acts chapter 1, verse 8? You shall receive what? Power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. God has not sent you to do a job that he will not empower you to do. The fact is, if an ambassador walks into the office of a head of state with a message from the president, he carries with him the full faith and power of that country when he delivers that message. The head of state of another country is not that intimidated by the ambassador himself, but he may very well be intimidated by the power that he represents. Can I tell you something? God has endued you and endowed you and empowered you with an authority and an ability that you don't even know you have. We just don't use it. As an ambassador, I've been enlisted and I've been entrusted and I've been empowered. And then number four, I want you to see this. You're essential. You are essential personnel. If we don't get the gospel out, guess what? Forgive my English. It ain't getting out. Well, somebody else will come along and take care of it. You don't know that. You're essential. I'm essential. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You're essential. And if I could just put it to you bluntly, if you're not the ambassador that you should be, you're letting somebody down. I mean, I don't mean to pick on people and pull people out because I know they don't want me to, but I'm going to do it anyway. There's one gentleman that got saved this past week because one family got a burden for him and went after him. There's kids that got saved this week because people got a burden about bringing these kids in and having children's church and giving the gospel and getting them on the bus and all that kind of thing. If none of that had happened, where would those kids be? I'm sorry to report to you that we don't get them all. And there's some of them that used to come and for whatever reason quit coming despite our best efforts. And I see them in all kinds of bad situations. Don't you see we're essential? Beloved, I got news for you. If we don't do the job, Rural Retreat's not going to pick up the slack. Jubilee can't pick up the slack. God has some things that we're intended to do. We are essential to this process. I'll tell you who will pick up the slack. The Mormons will pick it up. Jehovah's Witnesses will get them if we don't. We're essential. My goodness, we need an ambassador in North Korea in the worst way. Somebody needs to be talking to this guy. I'm sorry to say, it looks like it's Dennis Rodman. We need people in places of authority. We need people in places that are on high alert because we need to get the message to these people. Can I tell you something? The whole world's on high alert. And we need ambassadors in there giving the message that our sovereign has given them to give. Because if we don't, lives will be lost. So here's the so what. If you are saved, you are an ambassador for Christ. And you need to see this calling for what it is and do all you can to fulfill it. Do so with the proper display. You represent Christ. And follow the right directive. And see the honor that is bestowed upon you as nothing less than that you represent Christ Himself to those who don't know Him. For you are enlisted and entrusted and empowered and essential. I want to sum this up with one final verse. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 11. If any man speak, 1 Peter 4 verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know what that is? That's your commission. Because now then we are ambassadors for Christ.